Hello, I'm Father Terry Gensmer, and I haven't been with many of you in a while, and so I'm thankful for this opportunity from Bishop Elmer Belmonte to just share some things with you through Zoom from my home here in Alabama and going across the ocean to Europe and Asia and other places. And so I'm really excited to be with all of you. Many of you are old friends, and I'm hoping that someday soon we'll see each other again in person and not have to just do these virtual kind of things. But I do want to share something I believe is really important, and it has to do with the family. I believe that the time that we're living in right now is it's so strange to all of us, and we know this, and we're reminded of it every day in every aspect of our life. But I think it's a time when we really need to understand, you know, God's order and God's way of doing things in the midst of anything, any kind of obstacles or any circumstances that are going on, that God had a plan from the beginning. And part of that plan is the family. And now we find ourselves sometimes, whether we like it or not, we find ourselves really spending more time with our family than we have in a long time, because our situation is that we're quarantined, or we're, you know, we have lockdowns or just restrictions on what we can do. And so it has brought our families closer together. But, you know, what is God's purpose for the family? I believe it's one of the foundations of humanity and of being a human being and created in the image of God, and you know, looking forward and in a prophetic way to be who we're supposed to be, who God has called us to be. And really, the family is a very prophetic it's a very prophetic action of God. And that God set it forth in the world to affect the world and to make the world better as we live in his plan of a family. So I'm just going to share a few things with you about family and about being in a family. We've seen in the, in the last several years, so many changes in the way that our governments, whether we're here in the United States or in Europe or Asia, wherever we may be, that the attitude toward the family has really strongly, in many cases, drifted away from God's original intent. And so there are many examples out there, and I was just going to share this one example that happened here in the United States, where an 8-year-old child was brought before a judge because the parents had undergone a divorce. But the problem was this. The parents of this child were having difficulty conceiving. So what they did was they asked a couple to donate the sperm and another couple to donate the ovum. And a child was conceived artificially. And then a surrogate mother carried the child in her womb. And then finally, this couple, after the child was born, adopted the child as their own. So the judge concluded, in looking at the scenario, and he was deciding who the parents should be, he looked at the scenario and said literally that this child had 8 parents, but to the judge, it really had no parents. So the judge gave the child to foster parents. So this is the kind of situations that seem to all kind of jumbled up and confusing, which it is. And it's not the way that God planned it. And I know that all of us deal with circumstances in our life where, you know, certainly everything is not perfect in our lives. And we do, when things change in our lives, whether it's in the family or whether we fail or whether mistakes are made, you know, we just have to get back as close as we can to God's original purpose and intent. But God created the family really as primarily as an environment where that we're teaching and learning about God were to be paramount, or it was to be the most important thing, was that the family is that place where the children should learn about God. And we think, well, the most important place is the church. Well, the the purpose of the family and the head of the family is to get the family into church and into a place of worship and continue to lead their family toward God. And so we find that a family that really without we ask the question, can a family without both parents provide that kind of environment? And the answer to that is yes. If something happens, if there's a a separation or a divorce or a death in one of the parents, well, then the other parent has to step forward and take that place of fulfilling the purpose of God for their family, and that can be done. It just takes a strong faith and trust in God, and it's when we really have to trust God more than we ever have before. But a family is also, so it's an environment where teaching and learning about God is paramount. It's has the highest priority, but it's also a place where godly order is established and maintained. We see that all over the world, in different places, we see how there's just this very strong attack against the family. And in fact, in some countries, pornography has become legal. And sometimes even the molestation of children is barely punished at all. And so we see that, that there's just a real breakdown in the family and an order of the family. But God created the family to be a place of safety and of nourishment for all members of the family, and where the love of God covers all sin. It's meant to be an environment where the purpose is for all members of the family to fulfill the will of God. In Malachi 4, verse 6, the scripture says, "He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." And see, it's God's purpose to restore where things break down. God's desire is to restore through repentance, forgiveness, and all those things that we as Christians, people, that we understand and we know those are the answers. Humility, saying to our spouses and to our children when we're wrong, and not just looking for a place to always say where we're right and we're the boss and we get to do everything. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves. And so that brings back the structure of the family and restores hearts. It restores the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers and to their parents. So the essential key to making a family work is that all members are willing to submit their own wills to the will of God. Now, this is the goal. This is not something that we know is always done perfectly. It's not. And for most of us, we know that it's not done perfectly and mistakes are made. But that's our goal, is to have the wills of everyone in the family, their own will, submitted to the will of God, submitted to the plan of God. It's another essential key is to desire a life of self-sacrifice, not selfishness, but selflessness, to put others before ourselves, and especially those members of our family. There was an example in the United States of a man who so desperately wanted to catch his plane that he literally called in a bomb threat, which threatened the lives of a lot of people, which made everything difficult for everyone but him. He called in a bomb threat just to keep from missing his plane. So sometimes people just put other things ahead of themselves, and they put themselves ahead of others and put others behind, and so that's not self-sacrifice, that's selfishness. There's an old quote that says, "Unreadiness for self-sacrifice is not evidence of the weakness of faith, but of the absence of faith." I'll say that again. "Unreadiness for self-sacrifice is not evidence of the weakness of faith, but of the absence of faith." It shows that we have no faith. We have no trust in God when we put ourselves ahead of everyone else. So the family, in some respects, resembles a civil government. But yet in other respects, it resembles church government. And those are issues that I could speak on both of those issues for a long time. But I just to make these points that children can be subjected to punishment and sanctions as they're held responsible for their behavior. That happens in our government, in our civil government, and it should happen also in our church government. And the head of the family, whether it is the husband or the wife, is to act as the prophet, priest, and king, instructing in knowledge, leading in worship, and supporting a system of order in the family. It's so critically important to remember those things when we're building our family structure, and even when we're thinking, and young people thinking about their family in the future. What is it going to look like? How's it going to work? Are the children going to run the house, or is it just going to be chaos, or everybody just doing what they want to do, or will there be order in the family? And I believe that God set it, the family, that one of the reasons he set the family in place is to have order. So the result then of that is a preparation and training for the individual in the family, first, to be a blessing in the church, second, to contribute to the greatness and prosperity of the community, which will ultimately affect the nation and the world. So being a blessing in the church, being a blessing and contributing in the greatness of the community around you, loving your neighbor, and then also they will be then intentionally generational in purpose, faith, and unity. That they understand that the way that they're doing things, the way we do things in the family, is so that the families can affect life generationally. Our children, our grandchildren, our great grandchildren, our great great grandchildren, that we can pass this legacy of God's order in our lives down through our family. So these are the purposes of God, and it's important for us to get back to these foundations. A family where these foundational precepts are in place will serve as a place of refuge in a world spinning out of control. Sometimes we're afraid that if we do things God's way, it's going to make everybody turn away from us. But actually, if we do things God's way, it makes a refuge. It creates a refuge, a place where people can see what it means to be safe, what it means to have family, true family values, a place of safety, a place of comfort, a place of love, a place of forgiveness. And that also it becomes a fortress on which a society and a civilization can be not just built, but rebuilt when it fails. So I hope that some of these things have made sense to you. And I just want to finish up. We know we always hear about the hand that rocks the cradle. And there was an English author, William Ross, and he said this about that. He said, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." And it's just in that sense that as we nourish and love and protect our family, our children, our grandparents, our elderly, as we do that, we'll become a refuge for the world. We'll become the cradle that rules the world. So when these marks of the kingdom, and that's what this is the family is a mark or a distinctive, I call them a distinctive of the kingdom, or a mark of the kingdom of God. It helps us see the kingdom of God. That's what the family does. And when these marks of the kingdom are not present in our families, even the pagans will call us dysfunctional. A family is primary in its function of the advancement and increasing of God's kingdom in the earth. So I hope that you get something out of this. And if you do, I just pray that you'll begin to implement some of those type of things in your life. And I just, again, thank you for allowing me to be here. Thank you for being able to speak to you. I look forward, like I said, at some point, seeing many of you again for this whole thing, the coronavirus, to pass, and that life gets back to normal and we can begin to spend time with one another again. So God bless you all, and we'll talk to you next time.